It truly is always an honor to be asked to do anything to serve here in Narcotics Anonymous, and it's a privilege for me to chair this meeting and get to introduce our opening speaker. Him and I were just kind of sitting on the porch for a while, kind of reminiscing of some times past. And when he got to come to our area was still very young. We were maybe 5 or 6 years old at that point. We had just started really having meetings every night of the week somewhere in our area, and sometimes actually even had a meeting every night of the week, which was unusual. Our area was very young at the time. And when he moved to Altoona, him and his late wife Barb brought some experience in with them from the town they had come from, and it was much appreciated. And I've been one that has always learned well from predecessors and mentors that have brought me along in this process, and learned a lot from Art, especially when it comes to service work. That kind of has this service in general kind of floats my boat, and certain things in it just more than others. But I'm always willing to learn from someone who's gone before me in those areas. So when his name came up as the main speaker and I was asked to introduce him, I was very happy to do so. So without further ado, I give you Art D. from the Bridge to Recovery Group in Harrisburg.
I'm an addict named Art.
Hey, Art.
And I want to hit something off a little bit different. And first thing I want to acknowledge is, you know, a lot of times we talk about a lot of addicts that lead the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous and don't come back. But there's also something else that happens here, because the reality to life is death. And there's people that come here that done some work, that served here, that's no longer here. People like my sponsee, Eric. People like Andrea. People like Ray. People like my late wife, Barbara. And I'm sure that you know some people too. So the first thing I want to do is I want a moment of silence for those people that served in service to help carry this message that's no longer here. And if you want to, you can say a name if you want to. If you want to keep it silent, keep it silent. That's up to you. But could I have that moment now, please? Thank you. First thing I want to do is I want to thank this committee, this retreat, Journey Continues. That's the ongoing theme. The theme for this year is finding our way. It's the Unity Retreat, but the Journey Continues is an ongoing theme. Every year that theme changes. This year, it's finding our way. I'm an addict named Art. My clean date is 2/14, that's Valentine's Day, 1992. So you know I'm a sweetheart. And I just wanted to get in touch with some of the people that I remembered when I got here, that was here for a while, that are no longer here. To help me to really get in touch with my spirit, where my spirit is at right now. I got a happy spirit, but I got a sad spirit. But I'll tell you one thing. Them damn bleachers don't help none of that shit, none. I'm sitting over there, I'm weighing 300 pounds almost. And I'm sitting on that damn wood. I need to, you know, they've been doing all this other building around here. I need to get them to start putting some cushions on these dogs. Man, shoot, man, I'm getting too old for this, man. You know, I've been around here for a long time. You know, you think I deserve better, man. You know, come on. What's going on, man? Shoot, I was over there. They talking about they fitting to put in a bed and breakfast and all that. I'm like, man, y'all missing the finer points of what's going on. Get some cushions out here, man. Shoot. You know, but I'm real familiar with this here retreat. You know, this retreat, I've been involved with this retreat almost ever since I've been around here. You know, I came around and got involved one way or another. You know, one thing that I think of when I come here is the full fruit in the labor of love lives in the harvest. And that only comes in this right season. And why, and the reason why it comes to mind so much is because of the labor of love that so many of us have done around here. You know, I remember getting clean. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York. And I remember getting clean in Buffalo. And one of my sponsee brothers was running for a vice chair at area in Buffalo. And I was, you know, like we all do, I was taking his inventory. And I summarized that he don't need to get that position because he ain't done enough step work. He need to do some more step work. So since he ain't done what he need to do in step work, I'm going to run against him. And I'm going to try to beat him at the position so he can go ahead on and do what he need to do in his steps. Let me tell you, at that time I had done step one. I was approaching step two. And, you know, I didn't know nothing about power greater. I was God. And I stepped into that position. And let me just say this here. I'm from Buffalo. Being in Buffalo, I when I came up in active addiction, I was in gangs and that sort. It's a whole lot of stuff, going to jail and, you know, bringing drugs from overseas and, you know, selling and all that different, all kind of stuff that I was doing, you know, being in gangs and stuff like that. So, you know, I really never knew shit about Robert's Rules of Order. And so they put me in that position, and the very first day that I had to serve as vice chair of the area, the chairperson didn't show up. And just like Cheryl was talking about, I was ready to quit Narcotics Anonymous. Because I was like, how are you going to put this? I had no clue of what to do. You know, and then I had this guy that was in there serving with me, and this guy was from England. He was a priest. Now he was in Rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. He was a priest from England that grew up on parliamentary procedure and damn near wrote Robert Rules of Order. And every time I was there trying to chair the meeting, and he was coming with motions and, you know, call the order. And I was looking at it, and I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I said, man, y'all can go ahead. I'm done with this, man. I don't want to do this. Y'all can have this, man. Look at, man. Look at where I come from, man. We used to just beat motherfuckers up to get what we wanted. You know, we ain't do no vote. We said it went like this here. If you ain't go with it, we punch you in your mouth. You know? But I had to sit through it. I sat through it and I beared through it. And one thing that I found out on that day, because they came and grabbed me before I walked out the door, is that I found out that it was about the we. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about what I thought I knew. It was about me reaching out and learning what I needed to learn to be a better person in service in Narcotics Anonymous. At that point, I started feeling like, well, you know, the best thing that I could do right now then, I mean, I know I'm on step two, but see, it's probably better if I start learning how to do the traditions. That way, if people start fucking up, I can just make sure that they get in line. So I went to my sponsor and I said, yo, sponsor. I think I need to learn the traditions. And my sponsor said, keep coming back. So I walked away from him and I was thinking to myself at that point, I'm going to get me another sponsor. You know, look, man, I want what I want, when I want it, the way I want it, you know, and I want it now. You know? And I went to another, they have gurus in the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you can always tell them because they always smiling about shit that don't even seem shit to be smiling about. They just be grinning and you be sharing and you be thinking that you sharing from the Most High and they be smiling at you and all the time you can tell, he really laughing at me. You laughing at me, ain't you? And I went to, you know, one of these gurus, his name was Darwin. Now that's a guru name, ain't it? Darwin. And I went to Darwin, and Darwin, I said, Darwin, I'm ready to go do the traditions, man. What you think I should do, man? I want to go do the traditions. Darwin said, man, keep coming back. I was like, what? He must have talked to my sponsor. But I didn't understand that. The reason why he was saying what he was saying to me. He was saying what he was saying to me because anybody that's in service knows, and you can easily tell. It's kind of like that newcomer that come into the meeting. You know, we got the eye nose. And it's kind of like that newcomer that come into the meeting and he be sharing on step 9 and he got there 9 days ago. And you be like, wait a minute, man. Don't you go back and make amends to nobody, man. Just sit your ass right. Because you don't know nobody but the dope, man. Don't go pay him off right now. Just hold up. You know, because we can see. We can look at him and we can tell that because even though you think you got a real bright idea, we can look at you and we can tell you don't know nothing about what you're talking about. And in the meantime, in the in-between time, you doing things and you causing insanity and chaos to continue to go on because you haven't done what you need to do. And now here's somebody that's coming up to you to ask you how to do something. I used to have this thing that I can't remember. I can't recite it now, but it was some along the lines of this here. To ask you to do something that you don't even know how to do, but you're going to still try to show them how to do it. You know, and You gotta have tolerance. You gotta have tolerance with the people that, you know, that's coming through. You know? You gotta allow them to make mistakes and to fall down. And those are the things that I did. You know what I mean? And I started recognizing, because the work that I hadn't done, that I didn't have a peace that I needed inside of my spirit. I didn't have a peace that I should have had. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do service work when you early in recovery, but what I am saying is that I don't know about you. You know, look, there's no model for the recovering addict. And I don't know what your process is, where you at in your process, where you should be in your process, but I do know this. I do know that if nothing changes, nothing changes. I do know that if you don't do what you need to do to make sure that your personal recovery is not right, then you're going to be walking around with insanity and chaos everywhere you go. And some people come in with that insanity and chaos in the service, and it causes more problems than it does help. And for some reason, people think that if I just do service, listen, you reap what you sow. The law of reciprocity means that do unto others as you have them do unto you. You know, as you give, you shall receive. You know, all of those different things that say, you know, you give out and you get stuff back. The law of reciprocity, you know, is so you know that if you do service and you try to help people, that stuff is going to come back and it's going to help you, and it's going to help you in your spirit. But you ain't going to be able to receive what you truly supposed to receive in your spirit if you don't know who the hell you are. And you can walk around here with this image like you got it going on. Let me get honest. Because it's a reason why I'm here. When I got clean, I got married, my first wife, she's since passed away. She came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous from Brooklyn, New York. And I seen her spirit, something attracted me to her spirit. And there's something about the higher power, man, that takes you places where you think you're going one place, but you arrive at another. And I went to sit down, because I seen her sitting by herself, and I sat next to her and started asking her, has she ever been around Buffalo? And she said no. And I said, well, let me take you to see some sights. And this addict walked up. And the addict walked up. He had full-blown AIDS. He was only big as my pinky finger. He had his book in his hand, his basic text in his hand, everywhere he goes. And he stopped in front of me and her. And he looked at us, and he said, y'all too? And he shook his head up and down as if to say, y'all gonna be an item. I had just met her that day at that meeting. It was like, man, please, go on, Bobby, get out of here, man. You don't know what you're talking about, man. But I was embarking on a journey of a lifetime. And I got to know, and we got to grow. And I need to say that my intentions initially with her was not good intentions. I just wanted some place to lay my head. I just wanted somebody for convenience and comfort. And I also felt like at that time Because I even told this to one of my sponsee brothers. I said, I'm getting old, man. I'm getting long in the tooth. It's been enough playing around in my lifetime. Time for me to get somebody, man, that's going to be in my corner, that's going to be there for me when times get rough. But being the guy that came from where I came from, God knew I need something else. And we got married. Things happened. I'm not going to go through that whole process. But in that marriage, I'm going to say this. She taught me more about being a man than my mother did. My father wasn't in my life, and I learned most of my stuff about manhood from the streets. She taught me how to manage my books, how to pay my bills on time. I had a son. I had a couple children out of wedlock by different mothers. She taught me how to raise my son because she already had 3 boys of her own. And those boys were on point. And as we were married, at some point, one of those boys left Brooklyn and came to live with us. And I remember him getting in the car. And he got in the car and he was talking to his mother. And I had been around here for about 4 years at that time. And I was that dude that felt like, you know, I remember saying this to an old timer. You know, old timer said to me one time, he said, you know, when you come around here and you get 3 or 4 years, you start feeling yourself. You got you a couple sponsees, you know, you've done a couple steps, you done read through the basic text. You know, all of a sudden you got all the damn answers. And I looked at the old timer and I said, yeah, that's right. That's how I was feeling that. Yeah, okay. He said, yeah, well, when you start getting a little bit more time, like 6 and 7, you start getting the questions. And I was like, okay, right, whatever. That's some deep ass old timer shit. Go ahead on with that shit. But I got to identify what he's talking about today. And so her son came and was talking to her in the car. And because of all of what I knew, I said, let me interject some wisdom to him and tell him something that, you know, let him know that his mother is with one hell of a guy. And so I said, yo, let me say something. He said, he put his hand in my face and he said, yo, I'm talking to my mama. I said, oh, no, he didn't. And I swear, from that point on, I started feeling like, you know what? I don't have nothing for you, nothing to say to you. I'm done with you. Good luck on your journey. But I was embarking on a journey that I didn't even understand or didn't even know. And as time went on, his mother got sick, and that same woman that I was thinking that I was going to end up taking care of, was going to end up taking care of me, I ended up being the one to have to take care of her. I mean, I had to do everything, including help her go to the bathroom. I was so self-centered, let me remind you, I was so self-centered that when she bought me a present, when we first went out on a date, I called my sponsor and I said, what is wrong with her? I'm not going to give her nothing back. What the fuck is wrong with her? Why didn't she bring me a teddy bear and some fucking flowers? A man don't want no shit like that. What's wrong with her? And I said, what should I do, sponsor? She must be expecting me more out of me than what she said. My sponsor said, why don't you just say thank you? Man, you know, simplicity is the key to this, man. You know, it's so simple, man. Some of the stuff that we, you know, complicate that we need to do around here is so simple, you know. But, you know, with my complicated mind, I got to put some, because feelings go along with it. I get those feelings, and I got to address the feeling. I got to act on the feeling, you know, but. She she got really sick. He was going in and out of jail. He wasn't getting clean, her son. We moved to Altoona in the midst of this. And I remember in Buffalo, a pastor said, write down what you want God to do. And when you write down what you want God to do, put it in your pocket and just wait and carry it with you and see if God does it. And I wrote it down. And what I wrote down is that I want my wife to get well. I hope that she gets well and gets normal. And I put that in my pocket. And when we moved to Altoona, let me tell you, she was taking about 20 pills. She was on oxygen. She was robbing everybody in the meetings. Robbing you of any excuse not to keep coming back. Because as bad as she was doing, she was still showing up. She was still doing service with the oxygen tank. When we went to the Start to Live convention, we used to walk through the back corridors and take the elevators because she wasn't able to walk around normally because her wind wouldn't last. And they allowed us to do that. But one day, I don't know what happened. Things started to change. I don't know if it was the fresh air of Altoona or what. The mountains of Pennsylvania. I don't know what it was, but she started getting well. And she was only had an 8th grade education. And she started getting well. And all of a sudden, she didn't need no oxygen. She didn't need the pills. She had got off almost all the pills, maybe about 5 pills she was taking. And she had went back to school, and she was going back to school. And I was able to witness what I wrote down on that paper come true. And then a student in the school had a cold. And she caught the cold. And I don't want to go through the whole process, but she caught the cold and then she died from a common cold. And my first thinking was, why, God? Why? Why did you do this? We was on a good... My mother said this was the best woman you ever had, because I used to have them women that would come by the house and they would go straight to the bedroom. And my mother would say, well, why you don't introduce me to them? And I used to be like, because they don't need to know you, Ma. They don't need to know you. They ain't the kind of girls, Ma, that you really need to know. But she was really, really good person, good. You know, people said that she had a spirit. My daughter said that she had a spirit that she never met a stranger. And I was thinking, like, why? Why would you take this away from me? And it came into my spirit, or it came from somewhere. I don't know where it came from. And I know many people have lost many loved ones in this process. But what came upon my spirit was, it's not that I'm taking her away from you. I let her be with you. And it wasn't that what was being taken away. It was what, while she was here, what was given. And her nickname was Barbara Smiley Face. So her spirit, to me, continues to live on through the things that I live in my life today, based on the lessons that I learned from her. At that same time, her son said that from now on, I'm gonna stay clean, because that's what my mother wanted. And he stayed clean. And he was doing the damn thing. He was doing service. He was doing everything that he's supposed to do in Narcotics Anonymous. But he wasn't doing step work. He went to school, got his bachelor's degree, went to school some more, got his master's degree. He had 11 years clean with a master's degree. And at that time, I was moving out of Altoona to go to Harrisburg. And he moved to Chicago. And he started working at this rehab. And I was thinking to myself, wow, look what God can do. Brought him from where he was at all the way to 11 years clean, man. Master's degree, working with AIDS patients, working in this kind, doing this, doing that, working in the with the ministry, but he hadn't done no work on himself. And all of a sudden, I ain't hear nothing from him. And a lot of times when you don't hear nothing from people that continually talk to you, something ain't going right. Something going to file, they self-willing or something. And the next thing I know, I get a call from his brother telling me he had relapsed. I've been here for a while. I've been through a lot of stuff. Seen a lot of people stay, a lot of people relapse. You know, when you stay around here for a certain amount of time, you start to feel like, you know what, especially when you do some work, you start to recognize that there's a lot of stuff that's not in your control. When my wife passed away, she was in the room with me. I was holding her in my arms. She just asked me, not 5 minutes before that, are you going to take care of me? And I told her, I said, you better believe I am. And she died right there. There was nothing I could do. You want to talk about powerlessness? You want to talk about acceptance? And the same thing hit me when I found out he relapsed. It's nothing I can do, man. I'm responsible for my recovery. I can't be responsible for yours. I can't be responsible for my sponsees. I can't be responsible for nobody else's. I got to do what I need to do for me. And that's what's important, is that because the better that I am in being the best that I can be, the better I can be for you. I got a call about a month ago. Nah, about 3 weeks ago. That he had robbed a dope dealer in Chicago. The dope dealer caught up with him. And his girlfriend beat them both down and put them in the hospital. You know, sometimes we got to go through the stuff that we got to go to. They said to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, and death. I got a call from him 2 weeks ago. He said, man, I'm ready to surrender. He went into rehab 2 weeks ago. When I talked to him on the phone, my thinking was, I want to say something to you to just whoop you up. I want to just, what's wrong with you? What is the problem? What is this? What is that? And I knew that before I could talk to him, I had to get prayed up. I got prayed up before I said a word to him. And when he got on the phone, I just let him know. The same way that you did what you did before, look at what you've done. But you already proved to yourself that you can do it, so come on and do it again. I love you. I don't need to beat them up. I know he beaten himself enough already. I don't need to do nothing to him. Except for to be there for him, just like I would be there for a sponsee or anybody else in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous when they ready. Just be there. I remember coming to this area from Buffalo, New York. First time I came down here, I went to a meeting with my employer, the guy that was going to hire me. And I walked around Altoona. And I was feeling kind of strange. There wasn't a whole lot of brothers. But everywhere I went, people were smiling, treated me nice. I told my wife at that time, you know what? This is the place to be. It was so nice that the guy that was head of the engineering firm, the guy that was president of the engineering firm, he came out and had dinner with us during the interview. And they put us up in the hotel, me and my first wife, they put us up in the hotel. And for our anniversary was the same weekend. And they took us out to dinner and everything. And I was like, man, I got to get here. And when I went to the meetings in Altoona, because I said, I got to check. Whenever I go anywhere, I don't care. If I go out of town, anywhere that I go to the meetings to check what it's like in the fellowship and what life is like wherever I go. I don't got to go on the street, go to the bar. I can go to the meeting and see the level of degradation and the level of recovery that people have gone through to measure what that place is like. And I like just going there just to hear something different and to meet new people. And I went to the meetings, and what I heard was not nothing that really was going to feed me. But I heard a lot of people that was hungry. Not hungry for food, hungry for knowledge. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this is going to be a really good place to come where I could plant some seed. I could come, you know, listen to what I'm saying. Selfish. All about what I'm going to do for them. When I get there, I'm going to bring some recovery. You know, you heard Rich when he was talking about they came here with a, that was the attitude that I had. I was coming with a certain amount of recovery. And because I'm coming with all that, yeah, they ain't have as much clean time as I got. You better recognize. And I came in there and I started, see, you know, they tell you that a newcomer can give you a message. That's why open-mindedness is indispensable. Because I can get what I need from anybody because I don't know who my higher power is going to use to give me what I need. And I came there and it wasn't a whole lot of unity. And what people was over here, it was a clicking over there, and I came through with what I had learned from doing the 12 steps, from finishing the 12 steps, not once but twice at that time, but I had done the work on me. I knew who I was. And I knew what I was capable of doing, and I went in there with a loving spirit that was only on me because of the higher power that was in my life. And because of what was going on with me and my wife, we got involved in service, we started sponsoring people, and things started to change. I need to say, man, that I am so grateful for the people that was here when I got here. Because me thinking so much of myself still allowed me. You know, it's funny how just like when God put me with her and I was looking for somebody to take care of me, and I found out that I was ended up taking care of somebody else. Man, that's something, man, that goes in your spirit that makes you really embrace the true reality of the man that you really are. I've seen many guys get into relationships that they didn't like, and they didn't stay, and they left because it wasn't what they was wanting and what they were expecting. And I got some stuff out of there that is priceless. And the same thing happened with my intellectually ass thinking ass self. The same thing happened when I came here. That by helping people, by doing stuff with people, by serving, we started opening up meetings by serving. Guys like Rich, guys like Lance, guys like Edgar, people like Cheryl. I ended up going all the way to the region. You know, I was all the time I'm going there to serve, man, but all the time I was learning stuff, man, and I was doing things, man. Man, I'm so grateful for you guys, you just don't know. Because I was able to do things that I never thought that I would be able to do in my lifetime. I was able to do right here in Narcotics Anonymous. To be able to chair this retreat. To be able to look at through the things that I went through. I remember one time my house got robbed. And when my house, that wasn't here, that was in Buffalo. But it still is the fellowship that I'm talking about. My house got robbed. I went to a meeting and I shared at the meeting what had happened to me when I was out of town. And I swear, the next day, they had took stereos, televisions, food, everything. The next day, the fellowship showed up, just like Cheryl was talking about, and I had everything. I had more TVs. I had more food. I had so much abundance of so much. It was right around Thanksgiving that there was a family that was in need that didn't have nothing to eat for Thanksgiving. I was able to give them a turkey and a full course meal because of the generosity of the people in Narcotics. If the world could only be what we are here. We got such a wonderful thing here. There ain't no race. There ain't no color. We live here by principle. And the principles that we share with each other, if you got that in you, man, that's the stuff that forget about the car, forget about the girl, forget about the money, forget about the job. That stuff is priceless. That's the stuff that this is all about. You know, I'm you know, look, I'm not a small guy, and I kind of believe that. You know, this is for all you big guys and ladies. That if you've been here for a while, the bigger you are, the more spirituality you got. I gotta believe something. I can't believe this shit, but when I look in the mirror, I can't believe it. But honestly, when I came here, I kind of felt like, and I always felt this way, even through active addiction, that I was never enough. That I was never you know, good looking enough, never smart enough. I always was a good person, but good people didn't make it in the street. So I had to turn into something else, and that was another reason why I turned to drugs and alcohol. Because I had to turn into that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And coming into the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I not only got married once, I've been married twice. And I'll be looking and I'll be saying, what the fuck do they see? But I don't tell them that, you know what I mean? But I be thinking, but what is it? And I know, you know, because there's something about a man that got direction, a man that knows where he's going, a man that's living by principle. There's something special about that. There's something that's missing in our society that everybody is looking for. But I need to tell you that water seeks its own level. And if you're looking for that woman that's going to be the right woman for you, then you better make sure that you're the right man for her. Because you got to do some work. You ain't going to get nothing on consignment. You ain't going to get the one that you think that you, God gave you too much on consignment already. So you ain't going to get the one. And that's how I feel. And I'm not going to get the one that I think I deserve when I don't deserve it. I got to do some work. The full fruit and the labor of love lives in the harvest. What kind of labor are you doing? Are you doing a labor of love? Are you loving people for real? Are you loving past your hatred? Are you loving past your resentments? Are you loving unconditionally? The labor of love lives in the harvest. What's the harvest? I'm going to tell you what the harvest is, because it only comes in this right season. The harvest is that time when you come to the meeting and you're going to have your time if you ain't had that time. When everything fell out the bottom, when there ain't nothing, and you feel hopeless and useless, and you're ready to say, forget about it, and you want to throw the towel in, and you want to give up, and you walk in there, and the very person that you dislike the most serves you a message that saves your life. You just got a piece of fruit from your labor. What goes around comes around. We forget sometimes when we came to the door and they said, you keep what you have by giving it away. That's right. We forget about that when we come in the door sometimes. And you get around here with a bunch of clean time, and then all of a sudden, I don't need to come to meetings no more because I ain't getting nothing. No, you know, that's right. You need to come because you need to give something. Not because of what you're getting, because of what you should be giving. And that giving don't stop. I can't breathe enough today for tomorrow. I can't get enough spirituality today to serve me for tomorrow. This disease don't stop. It's insidious. It's chronic. It don't stop. It's going to keep coming at me even with 12 steps. 12 traditions and all the concepts. It ain't stopping. And if I ain't got my stuff in order, I may not die. I may not use. I just may live in chaos. My life might be just unmanageable. Sometimes that's comfortable when you're accustomed to it. But I know it ain't got to be like that. Right now, man, I'm in a marriage that the woman that I'm with is just wonderful. We don't argue. Everything, we get along. I don't ask her to take care of me. But it ain't like she got to. I'll cook like she cook. And I know I can wash clothes better than her. I know that. We do for each other. We've all gone through that process already of having kids, raising kids to adults, and send them out into the world. So all we have to do now is show up for the grands. I'm grateful for that, man. I'm grateful for the fact that when my first wife passed, that I still got a relationship because of the way that I treated her mother, their mother, with all of her sons and all her sons' children. They all called me grandpa. That's a testament to the man because of what I've done in the fellowship. Not what I've done for y'all. I'm talking about the personal work that I've done, recognizing that it pays better, man, to do right than it does to do wrong. It ain't complicated. It's real simple. And it works. You know, I showed up here expecting to receive or expecting to give. And I received, man, beyond my wildest dreams. Once again, y'all brought me here even to share as a main speaker at y'all retreat. I'm so grateful. So grateful that you would even think that much of me. So grateful that I've built relationships with these guys, that we've done work together. We've helped the newcomer elbow to elbow around this fellowship. And that's all I need. If you take everything away and you don't leave nothing but God, I'll be fine. Because I'll take God against the world. But I don't got to. Because I got you. I want to thank y'all for being in my life. You don't know how much I appreciate y'all being in my life. I'm Addie Name Hurt. That's all I got.